Blog Talk Radio.
Thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. You can also receive our free print catalog. Just send your name and mailing address to MrUFO8@hotmail.com. I'll spell that out for you. MrUFO8@hotmail.com. MrUFO8@hotmail.com. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Welcome to Cosmic Horizons Radio, the show that opens up your mind and ears to all of the possibilities that are out there. Streaming live to the world and beyond from our studios in Toronto, Canada. Well, it's been a while since we've been on the air, and I'd like to introduce to all the people out there in Internet land my very special guest this afternoon, Mr. Commander X. How are you, Commander X?
Well, James, I'm doing great, though I'll have to tell you that I'm Tim Swartz and not Commander X.
Well, sometimes I get the two mixed up. It's been a long day.
Well, I know. Commander X was, and still is to a certain extent, you know, a writer for Tim Beckley's Global Communications. And I actually wrote several books with Commander X, especially when he started having some health issues. But, you know, I'm not the only one that over the years people have thought was Commander X. You know, the late Jim Keith, who wrote a number of really fantastic conspiracy types of books, you know, like black helicopters over America. Mm-hmm. After he passed away, you know, the rumor got started that that he was actually Commander X. But I can tell you for a fact that the real Commander X is still alive and well. He doesn't quite, you know, get around and write as much as he used to, which is unfortunate. But, you know, time catches up to all of us.
Well, you got that right, Tim. And it just despite the goings-on around the world, especially last week in Paris, there's a lot of stuff going on other than that in the world, such as I recently read in one of your conspiracy journals, mass hysteria in the UK with a lot of people fainting. Can you tell us a little bit about that story?
Yeah, sure. This happened in Outwood Academy in North Yorkshire in England. And ambulance crews ended up treating around 40 pupils after several collapsed for no apparent reason during an assembly. And then there was, you know, what the paramedics and police thought was then a ripple effect of anxiety-based nausea and faintness, where a number of other students then started complaining that that they were feeling sick as well. Something like this seems to happen a lot with school-age children. You know, you'll get several who will get sick, and then it's like a domino effect where it just kind of spreads through the rest of the school. Depending on the location, you know, like India has had a number of incidents similar to this, but a lot of times it starts out with the fear of a paranormal activity. I remember, now this wasn't in India, I think this was in Thailand, there was rumors that were spreading through a girls' school in Thailand that there was a ghost that was roaming the hallways. And, you know, first one girl said that she saw the ghost, and then another girl said that she saw the ghost. And then pretty soon you had like an entire dorm of children basically fainting and saying that they were possessed and getting sick. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, there are some psychologists who say that mass hysteria doesn't really exist, that, you know, that what is actually going on is there is some kind of, you know, some kind of actual event. You know, I remember that back in the 70s, and this happened in the in England as well, where you had a school band coming onto a field, and all of a sudden, just practically everybody, every child in this marching band just fell over and fainted. And to this day, the authorities still cannot figure out what really happened to them. You know, I mean, the whatever it was, it spread so quickly through these children that it would be, you know, it would be hard to blame it on mass hysteria, which usually takes a little while to kind of like, you know, percolate through a person's psyche. You know, and there's been speculation through the years that possibly the field had been treated with, say, like a pesticide or an herbicide, you know, shortly before this happened, and that's what affected them. But, you know, to this day, we really don't know, and that's probably going to be, you know, the case with the Outwood Academy incident. I mean, the kids will go back, and nobody will be able to really say for sure just exactly what happened. So mass hysteria, you know, is as good a blame as any.
Excuse me. Well, we talk a lot, about a lot of strange things going on, especially urban legends and monsters. Especially, there's one that really intrigued me from your conspiracy journal about the Fairfax County Bunny Man. And apparently, from your information here, in Fairfax County in Northern Virginia, this bunny man seems to throw hatchets at people. Am I right there?
Yeah. It's funny because practically every place, every town that that you go to in this world, there will be some kind of haunted bridge, haunted tunnel, or a strange beastie of some kind. You know, where I grew up in central Indiana, and the Lover's Lane monster was called the Pigman. And this was, you know, I mean, it varied naturally from person to person. You know, some people said that it was a man that had the head of a pig, or it was a pig that had the head of a man. And, you know, like one story was that he was the son of a farmer, and this he was like an older teenager, but he was, you know, mentally deficient some way. And the house caught fire and his parents died and he was horribly burnt. And now, you know, he wanders the cornfields. you know, chasing around a lover's lane, you know, kids from lover's lane. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Fairfax County Bunny Man is a very similar situation. They have an overpass, which is commonly referred to as Bunny Man Bridge. And, you know, versions of the legend vary. You know, his name, motives, weapons, victims, you know, descriptions of the outfit or lack thereof. You know, in some accounts, the Bunny Man's ghost or aging specter is said to come out of his place of death each year on Halloween. You know, and some accounts have it that when his victims are found, the bodies are horribly mutilated, and you know, of course, it's really difficult to pin down any veracity to these stories. But one archivist has researched the legend, and he found two incidents of a man in a rabbit costume threatening people with an axe, like you said earlier. Whether or not this is an actually related to the Bunny Man, or if it's just somebody, you know, putting on an outfit and going out and having a laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when we talk a lot about what's happened, all these strange creatures and strange goings on throughout the world, one thing that's really amazed me is spontaneous combustion. And in your articles under Great Balls of Fire, apparently this spontaneous combustion happened in Germany very recently on November 2nd, and the victim was in her 40s. And a lot of people do not believe in this internal combustion, but according to a lot of the information that I've had, that this actually does happen.
Yeah, well, this incident, and boy, I mean, I tell you, I mean, it's really unfortunate, and it's the most recent case of spontaneous human combustion that has come across the news. I think maybe last year or 2 years ago, there was a man in Scotland who was found in his house that had been burnt to death, but with no apparent source of flame. Now, this woman, she was, like I said, she was in her 40s, and she was sitting in a park bench. And according to witnesses, she just apparently burst into flame for no reason at all. No accelerant was found. There didn't appear to be, you know, early reports had it that two men were seen running away from the playground shortly before the incident took place, but that has never been substantiated. What they did know is that this woman just suddenly burst into flames, and that people nearby tried to smother the flames, you know, like with their coats, but it was extremely difficult to put the fire out, and then later she ended up dying from her burns with no explanation on what happened. It didn't appear to be suicide because, again, there didn't appear to be any kind of accelerant used, and it's extremely difficult to go and set your clothes on fire to the point where they just become a raging inferno. Most coats and shirts and, you know, things like that will smolder rather than bursting into flame. And some clothes that are made of, man-made material will melt rather than burst into flame. So, yeah, this was a very strange incident. And, I mean, it's just one of many that has happened all over the planet throughout history where people, for no apparent reason, will burst into flame. The fire is extremely hard to put out. And, in fact, you know, people who have tried to use, say, like water, to put the fire out, it doesn't help. It seems to actually accelerate the fire. About the only successful ways that have been used to put out the flame is by smothering it. I remember a case in England where fire department responding to a report of a fire in an abandoned house, they found a homeless man there, and he was on fire, and as the fireman put it, it looked like that he had like a gaping wound in his stomach where this flame was shooting out of it like a blowtorch. And it was. They said it was like a bright blue in color, and in fact they could hear the flame coming out of his body. It made actually like a loud hissing noise. And about the only way they tried a fire extinguisher at first, and that didn't work. And finally, they ended up just like piling stuff on top of it to smother it, and that helped. Of course, at that point, the man was dead. But an autopsy later done on him showed that his internal organs had been burnt almost to ashes from the inside. Oof.
Yeah, so these are to you a real happening thing and not just conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat theories. These things really happen.
Oh yes, these things really happen, and I mean it's not just something that has you said the conspiracy tin hat brigade. This is something that has been reported throughout history. You know, I mean we have reports from the 16th century. Of people just suddenly bursting into flames. Of course, back in the past, doctors thought that maybe somebody who drank too much or was overweight or maybe a combination of the two, somehow I guess they thought that maybe the alcohol would build up in your body and then just a spark or something like that would be enough to catch you on fire. But at this point, there's been a lot of theories, but no decent explanation on why this happens.
Well, some things concern me a lot, considering what's going on these days, and especially this CERN collider in Geneva, Switzerland. Now, it's apparently it's going to be fired up to its highest energy level ever, in a bid to create a miniature black hole. But if they go ahead and do that, there's a possibility of actually making a tear in this dimension and to let in other entities that is kind of trapped behind the other universe. What is your opinion of this CERN collider in Geneva, Switzerland? Have they turned up the volume or the intensity level on this collider to actually create this black hole?
Oh yeah, they did that during the summer, in fact. And data collected since that time is now being analyzed. They're wanting to do it again for an even longer period. And my co-host on our webcast, The Outer Edge, Mike Mott. I mean, he worries about this. Because he thinks that the Atom Smasher at CERN could actually create a miniature black hole that would it could have the potential of getting out of control, and it was like an episode of The Simpsons, sucking everything into it in the nearby galaxy. What the physicists are attempting to do is, of course, they're attempting to get a better understanding of the universe. But what they're hoping is that when they turn the CERN up to its highest level and have it operating for an extended period of time, that they expect to detect many black holes, and with that detection, they may be able to get a glimpse into parallel universes that that exist alongside us. With the intensive gravity field that is produced by these mini black holes, if there are parallel universes next to our own, we would be able to detect them. You know, now I'm giving you like an overly simplified version of it. But they think that the energy produced from these mini black holes could carry a calling card from these close by universes. It's called the rainbow gravity theory, and it suggests that gravity's effect on the cosmos causes different wavelengths of light to behave differently. And one consequence of rainbow gravity is that our universe stretches back into time infinitely with no singular point where it started. And if that's the case, we can then use that to detect other space-time anomalies, parallel universes, and then mathematically prove that that our universe is just one of probably an infinite number of other universes, kind of like the foam that builds up in your bathtub when you put in the bubble bath. Each one of those little bubbles next to each other would be a parallel universe.
Now, would it be possible if they turn up this CERN collider with close to a trillion volts going through it to actually, as you mentioned before, open up a black hole, to actually time travel?
You know, it's that's been one of the theories. It's difficult to say. Some physicists have speculated that a smaller black hole would produce a wormhole that could then either extend forwards or backwards into time, or basically circumnavigate the distances in the universe. So rather than going forward or backwards in time, you could actually go in one end of the wormhole and come out at another place in the universe instantaneously. You know, right now there are all kinds of theories, and there's still coming up with new ones. But at this point, nobody really knows for sure.
Yeah, and I imagine once they start doing it, you're brinking on the edge, of an apocalypse. Because once you start changing the molecular structure, you don't know what to expect. And, the jury's out on really going ahead in this. Well, it's not a theory, it's a reality. How far can man push the boundaries before some catastrophe happens, or maybe the apocalypse?
Oh, I know. Well, and that's the thing that Mike Mott and I have talked about quite a bit, is that you could produce a miniature black hole that would then seek the closest high level of gravity, which would be the interior of the Earth. Once there, it would basically place itself right in the center of the planet and then just slowly eat away at it. As it absorbed more matter, it would get bigger and bigger, till finally local space, the planet and local space-time would be drawn into the singularity. And of course, a black hole is nothing more than a mass whose gravity is so intense that not even light can escape from it. So, you're absolutely correct. It wouldn't take much to create a black hole. The question is, if you created a miniature black hole, would it go out of control? Because some quantum physicists say that our reality, the entire universe, is made up of what they call quanta. which is a miniature black holes in themselves that are constantly appearing and disappearing, and that's kind of what provides the force and energy of space-time as we know it.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left in the show, and I'm sorry we didn't get to a lot of the things I'd like to talk about, but considering what's going on in the world these days, I'm very interested in your article about the mystery of the Shroud of Turin. And some people call it a medieval fake or a relic of Jesus Christ. And a new analysis of DNA from the Shroud of Turin reveals that people from all over the world have touched this garment. Now, have they uncovered anything else from this Shroud of Turin? When we get into the Catholic Church, it believes it's the bleeding body of Jesus Christ, and there's traces of blood and a darkened imprint of a man's body. Has there been any further analysis of this Shroud of Turin?
Well, like you said, the most recent analysis showed that the shroud itself has evidence of being not only from in the Middle East, but possibly India and other places throughout Europe. Whether or not this means that the shroud was at these places, there is speculation that it could have actually have been produced in India and then brought to the Middle East to use as a burial shroud, because I mean there was a line of trade from the Middle East back and forth from India to the Middle East during biblical times. Speculation has it that possibly it's just this was the dust and pollen from all the people over the years that have visited and touched the shroud. Early carbon dating analysis seemed to show that it was actually produced around the year 1250. But critics of that say, because at one time the shroud was caught in a fire, and parts of it that were burnt were then replaced. Nuns actually sewed new fabric onto the areas that were burnt away. And the critics to the carbon dating say that these were the places that were actually carbon dated. These newer pieces, and the actual ancient part of the shroud had it been dated properly. I mean, we do know that it showed up, it was first recorded around the year 1200. It had not been recorded before that. However, there was a piece of material that was around before that time, and I'm not going to pronounce this correctly, James, but I think it was called like the Mandalayan, which was supposedly a piece of cloth that was used to wipe the sweat off of Jesus' face as he was carrying his cross to his death. It could possibly be that the Mandalayan was actually the shroud, but it had been folded in such a way that you could only see its face. So, I mean, there does seem to be some interesting historical lineage to the Shroud of Turin. But it's going to be almost impossible to tell for sure just exactly what caused this strange image on it.
Well, Tim, we're sorry. We're all out of time, and it's been a great, compelling show. We'll have to get you on for an hour when we gear up, hopefully in December. Can you give the listeners out there your website and how to get a contact with the Conspiracy Journal?
Sure. Just go to conspiracyjournal.com. I'll say that again, conspiracyjournal.com. You can sign up for our free email newsletter. We'll take your email address. We won't spam you or anything like that. It comes out every week, and it's got all of the great, weird, and unusual news that happens all over the world and stuff that they don't want you to know.
Thanks a lot, Tim. It's been a pleasure, and hope to talk to you again on Cosmic Horizons Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. You're listening to Cosmic Horizons on the Blog Talk Radio System. And remember, as always, someone out there is watching you. Watch them.
We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be...